How great is our God.
Amen.
Wow, we sang that song yesterday at the prayer meeting. And wow, what a wonderful time of prayer yesterday. Thank you so much, Paula. I'm sure those who were here yesterday can echo my sentiments. That was probably the best prayer meeting I've ever been to. I don't know about you, but what an incredible time. Thank you for making the time to be on a Saturday. I heard from many of you cancelled all different events and different plans to be here. You sacrificed, and I think it was a wonderful, amazing time together. For those who were in Bloom, I see a few are back. We can have some feedback maybe next week about how that went, but just know we were with you in spirit big time as we prayed together here at the church, and we had a wonderful time together. As Ross mentioned, folk, just keep in mind, next Sunday night, we invite Dr. Steve Bass here once a year for a seminar. This year, he's talking about breaking negative cycles of behavior. And so it's not going to be a normal service with praise and worship and that kind of thing. It's going to be a seminar service with teaching. And so it's a good opportunity to bring your kids along, your teenagers, your youngsters, your neighbors, your work colleagues, and just hear from a doctor who's got some deep insight into how we can break different patterns or cycles of behavior. It's going to be fantastic next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Right. I was hoping to wish Brenda happy birthday, but she's coming to the 10 o'clock service more than likely. I saw on Facebook, so it must be true. Of course, my sister Haley turned 40 yesterday, the big 4-0. She's somewhere in the building. There she is. She's got 10 years to go to Agape. She's doing well. And so that's fantastic. Won't you please turn in God's precious word to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And I've entitled this morning's message, Wisdom for Life. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. By the way, if you'd like to see some amazing vintage cars, in the second service, the 10 o'clock service, Chalky Shanknecht is bringing along his vintage car club members with their cars. So there'll be at least 10 beautiful vintage cars being parked here on the grass. You can have a look at them. And so that's going to be something we're looking forward to in the next service. Here we go from Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Listen to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Father, thank you for your precious word. Lord, we know this is an extraordinary book that's been authored by men, yes, but inspired by God. And so, Father, we pray this morning that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would cause these words to come alive in our hearts, challenge us, instruct us, encourage us. And Lord, help us to become more effective, more dynamic, more on fire followers of Jesus Christ as a result of what we hear. For we ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, folk, as we read in verse 1, the book of Proverbs was written by a man called Solomon. Solomon is widely regarded as the wisest man that ever lived. And I love the way someone recently described the book of Proverbs. They said, ancient solutions for modern problems. Beautiful. Ancient, God-given solutions for modern problems. And so we want to look at this morning decision-making. How we can consistently make good and wise decisions in the different areas and facets of our lives. Tim Keller, who's a famous pastor, a Presbyterian minister in the US, and someone I look to for guidance and wisdom, said this: wisdom is the ability to know what to do as you navigate the complexities of life. And boy, is life complex and complicated sometimes. In fact, often there are three or four possibilities from which you could choose, three or four potential options. And so how do I know out of the three or four potential options which is the right option to choose. For example, should I keep quiet or should I speak up? Should I act now or should I wait for later? Should I marry the brunette or should I marry the blonde? Brunette, you say? Well, in my case, I got two for the price of one. Because sometimes my wife is brunette and sometimes she's blonde. I never know from day to day what I'm going to get. For the parents, how much freedom should I give my children when it comes to technology and the internet? And so every season of life presents you with many different challenges and decisions to make that really require wisdom and skill. And so Proverbs is a practical book that helps you to deal with the messy complexities of life. Someone once said this, "The book of Proverbs puts godliness into working clothing." And so how as I live my everyday life, can I live in such a way that I bring glory to God? And so that's our topic for this morning. The word guidance or counsel occurs multiple times in the book of Proverbs, including verse 5 of our text. And I discovered it's an interesting word, the word guidance and counsel, because it's a Hebrew word from which we derive the English word rope. Interesting. And of course, ropes were the method that sailors used in those days to sail to navigate their ships, until, of course, more modern equipment became available. And so the picture here is of a sailor trying to navigate a ship, using different ropes in order to keep his ship on course, to avoid getting shipwrecked, and to arrive at his destination safely. And so this morning, I want us to look at four different ropes in the book of Proverbs that will help us to navigate our ships, our families, our marriages, our lives, through the complexities of life. Rope number one, and where better place to start? Rope number one, the Word of God. Listen to what Solomon writes in Proverbs 30, verse 5. He says, "Every word of God is pure." Your Bible might use the word flawless. "And he's a shield to those who put their trust in him." Every word of God is pure, is flawless. What an absolute privilege, friends, to know that we can come to the Word of God at any given moment and receive pure and flawless advice about any aspect of life. We literally have the mind of God, the wisdom of God, to be able to navigate through the complexities of life. And it's freely available. What a privilege. David writes in Psalm 119, he says, "God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I can see many of you love that verse. Maybe for you it's become a life verse. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. What David's saying is that, Lord, in a dark, confusing, sometimes chaotic world, it's your word that directs me, that instructs me, that gives me wisdom and counsel and illuminates the next step and the way forward. And this is exactly what the Word of God does. The Word of God is a lamp. It illuminates. It shows things. It shows you the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. Often the Word of God doesn't show you the long-term picture, but it shows you the next step. And as you take that step, it shows you the next step. And as you take that step, it illuminates the next step. And so it's a daily walk with God, daily walk. Give us this day our daily bread. And as I take my next step of faith today, the Word of God illuminates the next step. And so you live a life that's been directed and controlled and guided, navigated by the Word of God. And so, friends, I want to encourage you. I found over the course of my life, as I read the Word of God, it's almost like a transaction happens. There's an impartation. I could even use the word injection of wisdom into my life. If I'm looking to make a critical decision, I get stuck into the Word of God, and it's like there's an impartation of the mind of God, the wisdom of God, the insight of God, the perspective of God, and suddenly I hear the word, "Mark, this is the way. Walk in it." But it flows from time spent where? In the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, which is a powerful, powerful verse, says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man, the woman of God, may be equipped, or your Bible might say, thoroughly prepared for every good work. Isn't it amazing? We've got a God-given manual to help us to live wise and successful lives. You may have heard the story about a businessman who had recently committed his life to the Lord. He got saved, and he was getting stuck into the Word of God. He was so excited to read the Bible. And for years and years as a businessman, he'd been dodging the tax man. I'm sure nobody does that here, but he'd been doing it. He'd been avoiding SARS like the plague. And all of a sudden he gets saved and he starts reading the Bible. And of course the first verse he reads is, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's." Oh no. "And render to God what is God's." And so he gets convicted and he writes a letter to the receiver. And the letter went like this. It says, "Dear sir, I've recently become a Christian and I can't sleep at night. So I'm enclosing a check for 10,000 rand. P.S. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest later." Let's give him grace. The Word of God is slowly but surely showing him a better way to live, a better way to do business, to be a man of integrity. And that's what God's Word does. It illuminates. It shows us things we didn't see before. And suddenly, the course of our lives, the navigation of our lives, takes in a whole new direction. Number two, rope number two, as we navigate through the course of life, is the reality of a relationship with God. As you navigate your boat, so to speak, you actually realize that God is in the boat with you. How many of us have realized that? As we've gone through the course of life and made different decisions and faced different challenges, we've realized that God has not been distant or absent, but God has actually been in the boat with us all along. And it's His presence that has made the difference. Listen to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Friends, if you're a new Christian here this morning, if you're trying to find your way as a believer, that would be a verse I would encourage you to make your life verse. Put that in your fridge or write it in your diary. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own human understanding. In all of your ways, in every aspect of life, acknowledge God. Put Jesus first. And what will you find? The navigation of your life, He will direct. The course of your life, He will direct. James 1 verse 5 says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom," and all of us lack wisdom from time to time, "you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault." Beautiful words. There's no reason to be anxious, to be restless as you make decisions. God's wisdom, the Bible says, is freely available. All you need to do is ask. And as you ask, God gives freely, He gives generously. And I promise you, folk, as a leader, I'm doing this all the time. In fact, I do this daily. Lord, as I make this decision, as I lead my family, as I manage my finances, as I lead GBC, as I counsel people, Lord, give me wisdom to do it wisely. And guess what? It's exactly what God does. Every day I know I'm filled, I'm empowered, I'm navigated by the wisdom of God. He is a powerful one. Wow. Colossians 3:15 says this, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Now, I think I've mentioned to you before that word "rule" is a word that's used in the context of a sports umpire or a referee. So in a rugby game, for example, if somebody drops the ball or somebody knocks on or there's a high tackle, which happens all the time when the cheaters play, for example, the referee blows his whistle. And the game must stop. Why? Because something's gone wrong. A mistake's been made. Something's not right. This game can't continue. It must be reset, restructured. And that's exactly how the peace of God works in our lives. And I think for those of us who've been Christians for many years, we will say a loud amen to this one. Where the peace of God is absent, there's a sign. The referee is blowing his whistle. Stop the game. Stop the decision. Push pause. Don't make any decision in your life, be it small or be it big, where the peace of God is absent. Because the peace of God is the referee. It's guiding you. It's navigating. It's controlling you. Where there's peace, God is in it. Where there's a lack of peace, God is not in it. Let the peace of God navigate, guide, and lead your life as far as decision-making is concerned. And again, all this flows from a relationship with God. Wow, rope number three, and this is incredibly powerful. Rope number three is we need to think through the consequences of our actions. And that's what Proverbs does. Proverbs helps you to weigh up, to carefully consider the impact, the implications, the immediate impact, the intermediate impact, and the long-term impact of my decisions. Because every decision you make, positive or negative, will definitely have a consequence or a result. And so let's start by looking at the immediate consequences of our actions. Proverbs 15 verse 1, for example, says this: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So what's Solomon doing here? Solomon's saying, be careful how you respond in different situations. Because bearing in mind that words are powerful, what you say matters. Somebody taught you sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Those words aren't true. Words are incredibly powerful. In fact, James urges us to guard, to control the tongue. What you say can have a major impact, positively or negatively, upon someone's life. With your words, you can bring peace. Peace. Or with your words, you can create a big problem and damage and destroy relationships. So I want to encourage you to think about potential conflict situations. When they arise, and I say when because they always do arise in different contexts, are you someone who instinctively reacts? Because when you react, the flesh is involved, pride's involved. And what you say may be right, but the way you're saying it makes you wrong. But Solomon says, rather than react in the flesh, respond in the spirit. Have I heard your heart? Have I listened to what you're saying? Or am I so keen to speak? Let the Spirit guide us to not just react, but to respond, to be Spirit-led people who use the words we speak wisely to build up and not to break down. How's this for a good intermediate consequence of decision-making? Proverbs 20 verse 4 says this: a sluggard, there's a lovely word to call your husband one day. I didn't know that word existed until I read the Bible this week. A sluggard. This is an amazing word. Sluggard. A sluggard. That's a really good word, that one. It must be important in the Bible. A sluggard does not sow in season, so at harvest time he reaps nothing. Powerful. The seeds you sow or don't sow, Solomon says, will have a direct impact on the harvest you reap when? Tomorrow. What you do today has a direct impact on the life you live tomorrow. And so the foolish man or the sluggard lives for the moment, for the now. He doesn't take the time to think about what impact his actions now will have upon tomorrow. He lives for the moment. He doesn't sow positive seed into his life, into his marriage, into his family, And so what happens? Not in this season, but in a future season, he reaps destruction. And we've seen this as ministers play out multiple times in multiple contexts, especially in the context of marriage. You find a marriage falling apart today is not because of a decision made today, but because of a seed sown yesterday. And it's taken time for that seed to germinate, and by the time the marriage falls apart, well, it's the result of something done wrong years ago. The sluggard paid no attention to the pornography he was watching, to his lustful thoughts, to his wayward eye. He thought he could get away with it, and he did at that time. But the seed was sown, and the harvest of destruction was reaped, not in that season, but in a future season. And so the wise man considers the impact of his life on future generations. The seed I'm sowing today into my children, Tim and Gemma's lives, will have a massive impact upon their lives going forward. And so, friends, I want to challenge you this morning. Keep in mind the seed that you sow today will have a direct impact on the harvest you reap tomorrow. Sow wisely. Number three, consider the eternal impact of your actions. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." Powerful. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And as I prepared this message, my mind went back to that farmer Jesus spoke about, who lived for the moment without any cognizance of eternal consequence. He was wealthy, he had resources, and what he does, instead of using his resources to bless others, to help others, to advance the kingdom of God, he lives for himself. He tears down his barns. He tears down his sheds, and he builds bigger ones. And he gets sucked into a spirit of consumerism and materialism, and he accumulates for himself. And Jesus himself comes to that man and he calls him a fool. He says, "My friend, you are a fool because tonight your soul will be required of you. And what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Here was a man who lived for the moment with no consequence, with no thought of what his actions were having in the light of eternity. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And you may not be aware, but I'll tell you this morning that the words in the end, are used multiple times in the book of Proverbs. In the end, especially in the light of sexual immorality. And Solomon says, consider what your actions today will have in the light of eternity. And I said this multiple times, I'll say it again in this context. Remember, Satan always reveals what? The short-term pleasures of sin. But he never reveals the devastating long-term consequences. And so we get sucked into living for the moment, living for the now, pleasing the flesh. And sometimes we get away with it. Nobody finds out in the now. But the question is, what impact will my sinful living in the present have in the light of eternity? That's the question to consider. The wise man thinks about what his life's decisions will have, not just for the moment, but in the light of eternity. Safety net number four, and we'll close with this one, is an encouraging one. I think you're going to love this one. The safety net of God's sovereignty. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." I tell you, I found that so encouraging. Because as we navigate our lives and as we try and make wise decisions, the possibility is that you may get a few decisions wrong. You won't always get everything right. But you know what? The grace of God means He can redeem even those bad decisions you made. He can restore them, He can redeem them, and He can give you another chance to live again. Isn't this amazing? He's the God of the second chance, the God of the third chance, the God of the 50th chance. There's always hope for a better tomorrow. Isn't that amazing? And I say that because some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, I've blown it, I've made bad decisions. Can my life ever be redeemed? Can my future be blessed? Yes, it can be. If you hand over the controls and the direction and the ropes of your life to a sovereign God. Man, I tell you what, we've seen this over and over and over again. Jesus finds you where you are. Jesus redeems your brokenness. Jesus overrules your bad decisions. Jesus cancels your sin. And Jesus causes you to literally come alive again. So don't be a prisoner of your bad decisions. Lord, I've navigated my life and it's gone off course. I'm shipwrecked. I've made a mess of my life. Hand over those ropes, the control of your life to Jesus, and He will steer your ship. He will navigate your ship on a completely different course to a place of life and not to a place of death. This is the grace of God. I hope that encourages you this morning, my friend. Because some of you came here thinking, man, I've blown it. I've gone too far. My boat's too shipwrecked. No one's ever too far gone for the grace of God to reach that person, to resurrect their boat, and to steer them in a brand new direction. He's the good shepherd, waiting to steer us back to the original path, His best path for our lives. And so in 60 seconds, just some final thoughts that I'd like you to think about as you go home today. How are you doing when it comes to rope number one, the Word of God? Is it gathering dust on a shelf in your study? Or are you getting stuck into the book and applying the truth, the wisdom, the mind of God, the thoughts of God to every facet of your life? What about rope number two? How are you doing in terms of your relationship with God? Are you investing in that relationship? Is the peace of God, the referee of God, the umpire of God, ruling in your life? Or are you restless, impulsive, distracted, running there, doing this, doing that? Or is your life being controlled, directed, guided, navigated by the peace of God? Stable, good perspective, insight, wisdom, stability, the peace of God ruling in my heart. Is that you? What about rope number three? Are you thinking through the consequences of your actions? Not just for today, but for tomorrow, for your children, for your grandchildren, for future generations, and also in the light of eternity. Everything counts in God's economy. Everything counts. Think through the consequences of your actions. And then rope number four. As I said, maybe you said, Mark, man, I tell you, that's a great message, but I've blown it. I've been the captain of my own ship. I've been the master of my own destiny. I've been making bad decisions over and over and over again. Well, my friend, maybe your prayer should be, God, in your grace, come and redeem my brokenness. Come and overrule my foolishness. And come and take over the ropes, the navigation system of my life. And Lord, please, I want to trust you to steer my life from a place of brokenness and death. And steer me to a place of freedom and life. May God grant that to be true in your life this morning. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for your precious word. There is just so much wisdom to be gleaned from the book of Proverbs. And Father, I pray for myself and for every precious friend in the building this morning that you help us to be wise people. Lord, people who are already controlled and directed and navigated and steered by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, people rooted and anchored in the Word of God. Lord, people who think through the consequences of their actions. People who live unselfishly. Lord, not just for ourselves, but for our children, for our grandchildren, and for future generations. And Father, thank you today that there are people in this building who today will be different, because you will reach into their brokenness, into their dysfunctional and shipwrecked lives. And Lord, you will steer them and resurrect them and guide them and navigate them to a place of freedom and a place of life. And for that we rejoice. Thank you, Father. We commit ourselves and we commit this week into your hands. In Jesus' great and powerful name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.